In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
One of the most devastating accusations that can be made against Christians, Father Hopko writes in his book, The Winter Pascha, is that they have no joy. He continues saying, joyless Christians are a contradiction in terms. And yet we all know, all too well, the reason that Father Hopko finds it necessary to write such words. He knows, and we know all too well, that the fact is, Christians are often without joy. Joyful is not an adjective that is often used to describe modern Christianity. And how sad it is that many of us fail to experience true Christian joy in our lives. It's truly sad because our faith has its very beginnings in a proclamation of joy. The birth of Christ brings joy to the world. As the angel announced the gospel, the good tidings, the good news for the first time to the shepherds in that plain outside of Bethlehem, the announcement was glad tidings of great joy. Joy is one of the reasons for which Christ was born on earth, that we might experience joy in Him. Joy is supposed to be characteristic of the Christian life. In fact, if we look at the Gospel of Luke begins and ends with great joy. It begins with the joyous announcement to Zechariah and Elizabeth that they're going to be bearing a son. Her who was barren in her old age is now being blessed with this child. And then the archangel appearing to Mary, and there's joy and the joyous Magnificat that she utters. And then the Gospel of Luke continues in the second chapter with that text where the angels appear to the shepherds in the fields around Bethlehem, and announce glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. See, the Gospel of Luke begins with this theme of joy, but then it also ends with this idea of great joy as well. After Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, after His appearance to His disciples over the 40 days of His resurrection time period, it ends with a brief reckoning of Christ's ascension into heaven. And then we hear this, that the disciples worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And that is the second to the last sentence in the Gospel of Luke. That theme of great joy, again, reminding us that this is the Christian life, an experience of great joy that we experience in Christ. Joy is an essential component of the Christian life, and joy is supposed to be an essential component of this Nativity season. Part of our preparation for the Feast of Nativity should become being reacquainted with this concept of joy that is found in Christ. Today, I think we should consider this and consider the practical side of this, not the philosophical ramifications or the historical reasons of why joy may not be experienced in modern Christianity or any of those kinds of things. Let us be quite practical in our consideration, not in an exhaustive list of these things, but in just a consideration of things that come to mind. And let us consider the simple practical reality is joy killers exist in this world. There are things that rob us of joy in this world, and we have to be aware that there are these things that take away our joy. And we have to label them for what they are and understand how they work in our life to understand why we have no joy. But likewise, we have to understand that there are sources of joy in this world, joy fillers that fill our life with joy. And it's when we go to these things consistently, joy is sustained in our lives. So today, let us consider doing away with the joy killers and investing our time and our energy in the joy fillers. Consider briefly with me that one of the things that steals our joy away is the concept of busyness. More specifically, the wrong kind of busyness, filling our life with endless activity. We all find ourselves busy from time to time. Busy, and it's beyond our control. It's coming to us from sources that are outside of us. It's not necessarily our choice. It could be a work deadline. It could be a family obligation or things like this. We all have seasons in which we're busy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where we intentionally, willfully, voluntarily put ourselves in the situation where our life is filled with an endless array of activity. And I'm convinced that when we do this and we live our life in a complete swarm of busyness all the time, that we start to lose something in our life. We start to lose touch with Christ, and the joy that should be part of our life begins to dwindle away. We become overcommitted, and thus there is that joy that we experience in Christ starts to slip away from us as we engage in these other commitments in our life. I'm amazed how it even spills over into our children. It's not uncommon to find parents that think that the best way to raise their children is to have them, each child has to have six activities that they're committed to. And so it's sports and arts and drama, and then it's SAT prep courses, and then it's debate team and so forth and so on. And it's not that I'm against any one of those things, but it's just we have to understand there have to be choices made in this life. There have to be priorities. Kids need downtime. Kids need playtime. And it's not just these activities. We have to understand, certainly in this time of the Nativity, it is unquestionably a time when all of our lives become very busy. But why do our lives become busy? And what is it busy with? Is it really the essential stuff that this season is all about? No. Most of the time, it's shopping and holiday parties and things of that nature. We cannot forget the thing that is most important of this season is Christ. And he is easily in our lives lost as we let our lives become busy, overcommitted, filled with endless amounts of activity. Our lives can only handle so much. And when we have so much accumulated activity, it starts to replace the joy that could be ours. We need to learn to prioritize our lives, our time, our commitments, say no to some things, to let some things go. Busyness is certainly a joy killer. But there's another joy killer that is also very dangerous, and that is the search for green pastures, or greener pastures, perhaps. Instead of us being grateful and giving thanks to God for the things that we have, we're always on the look for something better out there somewhere. We're convinced that just over this ridge, there's a greener pasture where my life will be better. And we become consumed with this quest and looking for those improvements in our life when our life will finally be good. We keep looking for what we don't have when we have that perspective, rather than giving thanks for what we do have. And it's a delusion. It's like that cartoon mirage that we think that when we get there, it'll be great, and we get there, and it's not really what we think it is. We become convinced that the grass is greener somewhere else, anywhere that we are not, but it's not really true. And when we get caught up in that mindset, it often has its accompaniments. Things like complaining, and our life starts to become filled with our complaints about how lousy our life is and how miserable we are. We complain about this, that, and the other thing, and those complaints begin growing. As we start giving into the complaining, it just becomes this force in our life that begins to overwhelm us and take over our life. And coupled with that, often when we start complaining like that, then we also like to blame people or circumstances for how our life has wound up where it is. And if only Sally had done this differently, or Joey had treated me this way, then my life would be different. And we begin to blame people for the circumstance that we find ourselves in. But essentially, we're discontented. We're not at peace. We're searching for those greener pastures that are out there. And it is that mindset that itself is a joy killer. And we have to understand that. We have to give this up, because it is something that robs us of joy. Complaining and blaming and searching for those greener pastures. Having said that, I would also say that there are people in our lives that can, in fact, play that role as a joy killer. It's not just, you know, to an extent, the people in our life are the people in our life. We can't choose that either. But we can choose the kind of time that we spend with those people. We can choose the amount of time, the places, we make choices in that regard. When the person that is in our life is this negative influence that leads us away from Christ into bad behavior, perhaps that person is constantly criticizing us, perhaps that person is constantly seeking to manipulate us. You see, these things are joy killers in our life. Perhaps that person is just a constant complainer themselves. It's not just when we complain, but sometimes having to listen to somebody complain after complaint after complaint, that it just goes on and on. And that itself robs us of our joy, having to listen to someone endlessly complain. We have to understand that sometimes the people in our life are in fact serving that role because of the way they interact with us. We have to have good boundaries with such a person and be careful about the time we spend with such a person. But even as there are joy killers, and there are certainly others, but those are the ones we're looking at this morning, there are likewise joy fillers in our life. And one of the things that certainly brings us joy is the experience of the kingdom of heaven. At Christ's birth, the kingdom of heaven was born on earth. At Christ's birth, Christ was born on earth, ultimately, that we might be born of the kingdom of heaven. The experience of us being born from above, having that experience of being born of heaven, it truly brings our life joy. There is joy in the kingdom of heaven. And as we brush against the kingdom of heaven, as we experience the kingdom of heaven, it is a joyous thing. And the kingdom of heaven is not a one-time experience just that's equated with our baptism or chrismation or something like this. But the kingdom of heaven is something that we are to experience all the time in our life because the kingdom of heaven is here on earth. It has been born through Christ's advent on earth, but it's to continue in our life to be experienced each and every day. Our whole life becomes oriented towards this because we're no longer of this world. Our identity is based on the fact that we have been born of the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, we have to think about the reality. The reality is the consistent experience of the kingdom of heaven is found in a very simple place. It's here. It's in the liturgical life of the church. It's in the services of the church. Because what happens in the services of the church? In the services of the church, we are entering into the kingdom of heaven. It is an experience of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And so as we come and we enter in, we once again tap into that joy that is from heaven. We are replenished. But the liturgical life of the church has to become our own liturgical life. We have to make it our own by being part of it, by being here. The services of the church aren't going to help replenish our joy if we're absent. They're only replenishing our joy when we come and we enter in. Certainly, we must also acknowledge that Christ himself is a source of joy. Christ comes to be born on earth that he might be born ultimately in our hearts. And the life of Christ is deep within our souls. And our experience of Christ's life within is indeed a fountain of joy. Our relationship with Christ is a source of joy. But like any relationship, it takes effort. We have to work on our relationship with Christ. It's not on autopilot. It's not something that happens automatically. We have to make the effort. And so how do we do this on a daily basis? Well, it's simple. It's prayer. It's reading the scripture. We experience Christ in prayer and the scriptures. And our life reconnects with Christ in those moments. And the joy in our life is replenished as we reconnect with Christ. But when we fail to pray, when we fail to read the scriptures, we're denied that experience. We're denied that conduit of joy. We're disconnected from Christ and thus cut off from joy that we could know. Also, there is a unique experience of the joy of Christ that happens in the sacrament of confession. It's not often thought of as a joyful event, certainly, because we come burdened with sin and perhaps we're a bit nervous to open up our hearts in the context of confession. Perhaps we're even heartbroken. Perhaps it's even accompanied with tears as we embrace repentance. But after it is over, after we experience the grace of absolution, after the burden is lifted and we're lighthearted, what happens? There is joy. There is joy because confession restores us to Christ. And it, in that experience, joy is replenished in our life. And lastly, I would certainly suggest, even as some people can be joy killers, some people in our life can be joy fillers. There are people in our lives that are a joy to be around because ultimately Christ is in them and working through them. And so when we interact with these people, our lives are encouraged. We're hopeful as we have a conversation. The experience of Christian fellowship, it is a joy filler. It's good to be together with the people of God. It's good to share our life with other believers. We are the body of Christ, and being together, we encourage one another. We replenish one another's joy in that experience of relationship with one another. This is a season of joy. As Orthodox Christian believers, we must experience that joy that is ultimately ours. Christ's birth is the birth of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And Christ's birth is the hope of our own rebirth. This is truly joy to the world. But we must take inventory, and we must get rid of those things that are joy killers in our life. The endless, needless busyness, the search for greener pastures, even limiting the time with the people that serve a negative influence upon us and bring us down. And likewise, we must make use of the joy fillers that are available to us. We experience the kingdom of heaven in the services of the church, the liturgical life of the church. We can build relationship with Christ through prayer, through scripture, through confession. We can spend more time with fellow believers who lift us up. Christ's birth brings joy into this world, and it is our calling and our destiny to walk in that joy. We simply must do away with the joy killers and maximize on the joy fillers. So let us embrace the joy of this season, and let us walk in the joy of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.